Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3 KXNO.
The PSAs you hear on Miller and Condon and iHeartMedia Des Moines are presented in part by Nick Mick. We take care of our own. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Monday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours, talking sports with you, and thanks for spending some of your morning here with us. The BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. Bottom of the hour, we'll catch up with Nick Olson. He covers Iowa State at 24/7 Sports. He'll join us to kick off the first hour of the program. At 11:05, Matt Rudy, Golf Digest, will help us with the Masters. We will put a bow on just a kind of a boring tournament, quite honestly. We'll get into that here coming up with Trent as Scheffler made it a runaway. Boy, did you see him trying to putt on 18? Was that nerves? Or he four-putted the 18th.
It's not an easy green.
No, but man, most years that's going to come back. But I guess when you got, how far was he up? Was he up six?
I think that's what it was, yeah.
Something crazy anyways, but good for him. It was a no doubt about it. So Matt Rudy will talk about that with us. So just Tiger's one of the bigger stories of the Masters. For all you haters out there, sorry, but it just is. And then Scott Dockerman will join us as we'll talk about Iowa. He's got a long forum piece I read this morning at The Athletic on Tyler Linderbaum and what he means to the community, what moved him as a young kid. It's a pretty good read. So we'll talk Hawks with Doc before Trent's play of the day. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Feeling a little slow today. A little sluggish. You? Maybe, I don't know, if it was the Masters that did it, just didn't get the same excitement level.
It really lacked it, didn't it?
Yeah, Twins got off to a bad start, finally got one back in the win column yesterday. But yeah, just not what I hope out of the Masters coming in. And though Tiger was such a great story.
Yep.
And
watching him walk up 18, Trent.
That was great.
Watching him labor up 18. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he walked up, but you could just, it hurt to watch him take a step.
But then seeing after he finished and the smile on his face. Have we ever seen a smile like that?
From him?
You think of the moments. And the most recent moment, the last green jacket he had in 2019 with Charlie.
When he met Charlie, yeah.
That was good.
Right.
But this was prolonged. This was, this is a side of Tiger that I don't think we've ever seen before.
Why doesn't let anybody see it? Why don't, I guess he obviously has it because it came out yesterday. It's a fair question. Because, he was euphoric almost, even though obviously it didn't live up to his high standards of how he plays the game. But just the fact that he was there, it was remarkable to watch him gut it out. I mean, he couldn't putt to save his life on Saturday.
No.
And struggled a little bit. I mean, he played with John Rahm yesterday. I saw John Rahm, I think, on the final hole for the first time.
I think there was one other cut maybe that I saw,
There wasn't very many. But the leader, Scheffler, just... look, the tournament was won and lost, I think, on the third hole yesterday when both Cameron Smith, who started out birdie-birdie, to really, all right, here we go. And then Scheffler hits... Smith hits his tee shot. It's left. But it was playable. Scheffler then puts his tee in the ground. I think he started par-par and hit it way left. In fact, one of the announcers said, I don't think I can ever recall a ball being hit that far left.
Wow.
And caught a huge break because the massive scoreboard was in the way of his next shot. So he got free relief. Did it make a difference? Well, we don't know. He promptly came out and... And his second short shot came up short, rolled all the way back. The door is open. Here's Cam Smith off to a birdie-birdie start with a 58-yard wedge into the onto the green. And he comes up short. I went from watching Scheffler come up short on his second shot to before Smith hit his shot thinking, you know what? He may either be in front by a stroke or at the very worst, one back, leaving three. Well, the chip and the bump and run, Scheffler cans it. I mean, right in the heart, right? And the tournament at that point, and Cameron Smith made bogey. So a huge swing, and the tournament was over at that point. If there was any other drama, maybe 11 when Smith made birdie and Scheffler made a really nice par.
And then, it felt like maybe there was a little chance of a tilt, and then 12 happened. And 12 has been a place where this tournament has
goes to die.
Yeah. Going back to Tiger in 2019, that was Molinari putting into the drink there. Right. There's been so many huge moments. Of course, Greg Norman, one of the most famous collapses in maybe sport. What he did in 1995, was it? 95, 96, right in that range.
Yeah, that time period.
Had the huge, huge lead and just collapsed on the back nine, including, and that was kind of the start of things on 12. It's a hole that maybe should be a little more famous just because of, what do they call it? Do you remember what they even call that
one? Oh, who knows?
I know. It's 12.
Whispering something, I'm guessing.
Azalea.
Right. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it's the history of that hole, whether good or bad, and there's a lot of it bad as far as what it does to tournaments. It was over at that point. Look, Morikawa and McIlroy, that was really cool on 18, but it didn't mean anything.
It didn't. That was a perfect Rory moment, right?
Yes.
Play like crap for the week and then shoot a 64 on Sunday. Right. Because the talent's not, it's never a problem with Rory. He is as talented of a guy, maybe the side of DJ, you're going to find on tour. Yeah. It was a disappointing tournament. It really was. With all the pomp and circumstance of Tiger being back and getting the weekend.
Are
and
we
then you're
poo-pooing Scheffler? So he was so good.
And that's the part. He is, the fifth youngest guy to win a green jacket?
Trent, on Super Bowl Sunday, he won his first PGA Tour event.
And all of a sudden, now he's won four.
Right. And the Super Bowl wasn't that long ago.
No, it was February. Right. Middle of February.
He'd never won until that point. Since then, he'd made $10 million, including $2.7 million that went into his coffers yesterday. It was, he's not robotic. He's just so good.
He's
playing at a different level right now. He's on one of those heaters that athletes get on, and man, he's enjoy it. And he thinks he's going to take this week off. I wouldn't. Keep going.
He won the junior amateur. This is a guy that's been talked about. Went to Texas, won the Big 12 as a freshman. Shows you how good of a golfer he was right away. In fact, the course that he won the Big 12 tournament is where the U.S. Open is going to be played.
Yeah. Wow.
Way back when he was a freshman. So this is a guy that kind of was just trending this direction. Yeah. He was going to be a good tour player, everybody. It's not an out-of-nowhere kind of story. You're right, kind of robotic, all right? Mm-hmm. Another good size white dude from the South.
He seldom misses.
Yeah, it's just, there's not a whole lot of meat to really tug on here. And though he's the fifth youngest to win a green jacket, he's still 25. He's not like when Tiger was 21 or even Spieth was 21.
Right.
Still 25. It's like, oh, he's been around for a while. Yeah.
He was a journeyman until Super Bowl Sunday.
A little bit better than that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, in terms of wins, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, but
he'd yet to find the winner's circle.
And he's just out there doing his thing. Yeah. Well, let's hope we get a little better run here at the PGA coming up next month, because that was a disappointing end to things. It's still beautiful scenery.
Oh, it's
still love the tournament.
Yeah, me too.
And the Tiger storyline went a long way to make this a very memorable tournament, even at the top.
If you don't have that, Trent, that's a really good point. If you don't have that, you certainly didn't have the back nine drama on Sunday. Yeah, maybe Smith could have, got into it a little bit. Like you said, Rory just started too late. He shot 64. That was in there. Lowry was hanging around and, making some shots, but he never really threatened at any time. It was a coronation of the world's number one player.
Did you cash anything?
I did. One. Cameron Smith, top five.
Okay, that's pretty good.
3.5 to 1. No, 330 to 1.
I got Morikawa, top five. A couple of top tens, but for the amount that I invested.
Yeah, me too.
I did not get it back.
I was close a couple. I got a little run for my money. I got Rory McIlroy thinking maybe he's going to get close if Scheffler comes back. You know, disappointed, and I know a lot of people bet him was Brooks Koepka. You see that 20 to 1, you think, wow, how could you pass this up, right? That was pretty good, but it's funny that you would have thought with all the Tiger future money that was bet with sports operators over the days leading up to it and during the tournament, with all that Tiger money, staying with the properties, you would have thought that they had a great tournament. They didn't.
Really?
And it's because Scheffler, the number one player in the world, essentially took the lead. And well, you sat down here beside me. Good thing for live betting.
Yeah, well, there's
I bet
no
on Saturday. I bet on Sunday.
Yeah.
You're not alone is my point.
Oh, okay.
That's why they got beat up, because there was a lot of live betting throughout the tournament on Scottie Scheffler, and most of them come up losers in this thing.
So they needed somebody to chase them down.
Absolutely.
Because I bet it both Saturday and Sunday morning before the rounds began. I bet on Saturday at the time he was minus 105, I think it was, minus 105 or maybe 110.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just a slight favorite at that point. And then again on Sunday, he was minus 225 going into Sunday, and I still fired more because I had it surrounded a little bit. I did have a little Cam Smith money, so I felt pretty good about that. And really felt like he might be the only guy that could track him down.
That's what I thought, too.
It didn't seem like there was anybody else. So I felt good about that, and that meant I was able to invest a little bit more than I normally would in that one. But at live betting a golf, too, it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned like three, you know, just how quickly things can change. Mm-hmm. And you see that tee shot, and you hear them say it, and you hop on. Oh, I'm going to grab a little more Cam Smith here. It's a great sport to bet. It really is. It's one that you don't think about. But live betting golf might be as... might be my favorite live sport to bet. And I'm trying to think now. Basketball is good. And we're getting to the basketball I like the most. That's NBA playoffs, betting live.
Mm-hmm.
Because the swings are as wild as any sport that you're going to five. And just watch it. Watch those 12-point leads and look at the money line that you can get on the other side. There's going to be a lot of betting opportunities. And it starts tomorrow night with our T-Wolves.
Indeed.
In the play-in
round.
And
they're a slight favorite over the Clippers.
Dropping. Right?
Is it?
It was three. I saw a couple of 3.5s last night when the lines were posted. Saw this morning almost 2.5 across the board. That was at about 8 o'clock. So we'll get another glimpse here before the end of things. We'll play a little baseball today with our Circa plays at the end of the show. But I'm excited for it. Having the T-Wolves involved, that's a big thing for me.
Yep.
Get kind of the local level. The Bulls, boy, they feel like they're going to be one and done, though.
I think.
In fact, I'm going to be looking at maybe a sweep price for the Bucks-Bulls. I'm going to be taking a peek at that, too.
Let the audience know what that is once you find it, because that's not a bad bet, because I'm with you. I just don't think that, well, we'll see.
Right.
I don't feel very good about the Bulls, the way that they finished and the way they play against good teams. And, well, you would think they're in the playoffs. They're going to run up against a bunch of them. At least one.
Of course, Talk Weekly with David Kaplan from Chicago. And when we had Cappy on, but right before the season, I asked him, hey, the number's 44.5. Oh, over easy. You know how many wins the Bulls finished with?
43.
45.
Did they?
They did. They hit it.
Oh, easy.
It was barely over on that one.
So did they need this game this weekend to go over?
Yes.
Wow, how about that?
Needed the one last night against the Wolves to get it over, and thank goodness for that. Well, we talked about that, like a week ago. They just had to go like 2-5 or something like that, and they got the two, including last night.
Your birthday's today.
It is. Yeah, 42.
How about that?
I just saw
this on Twitter. I knew it was April. Thank you, Stephanie Gifford, for alerting us. That's good.
Yes.
The big 4-2.
Well, I told you I feel like crap this morning, too. I just feel really tired.
Getting old's awful.
It is. It just keeps... I got too much sleep last night.
Yeah, you got up yesterday morning, you're feeling great.
Right.
42, it's over. It's a big swing.
It's definitely downhill.
41 to 42. So what do you got planned?
Well, yesterday my wife got us a sitter. So my niece came over, watched the kids. We went out and played 9 and then watched the Masters afterwards and had dinner. So that was fun. Tonight, still figuring out what we're going to do. Probably go out for dinner with the kids and do something like that. They got a birthday cake. Ella was very excited about that.
Nice.
So, you know, do the candles and the presents and all that fun stuff on top of it. But yeah, at this point in life, don't really need anything, right?
No. If you do, you go get it.
Right, exactly. A little bit different than it was back growing up. But
just
have that, maybe have a beer to cap off the day and call it good, and maybe early to bed again tonight.
Your Twins play tonight?
6:40, first pitch as they try to get even against the Mariners. Rough start. Bats weren't very good until yesterday. And it started in the first inning. How about a couple home runs from Byron Buxton?
Boy, one of them was just crushed.
Just put him in bubble wrap.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a gifted player.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks have him as took a flyer on him for the MVP. We can't make that wager. In Iowa, maybe one year, but a lot of where in states you can, a lot of people took Byron Buxton.
Speaking of baseball, your takeaway from the Cubs getting off to a good start?
Well, good for them. And they had every opportunity yesterday. They wasted a start for Marcus Stroman, who was really good. And as we said before with him, he's so good defending his position. He's got a gold glove. At least one.
Mm-hmm.
He's really a good fielding pitcher. But then they wasted it. They went to the bullpen, and Jesse Chavez was just a can of gas. He was terrible. Made it interesting, tied it, gave up the lead, and then here comes Josh Hader, and he does what he does.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the light spring training did not matter to Hader, is what you're
saying. No, it sure doesn't. But it has mattered, I think, to managers. I don't know if they're overthinking it or not. They didn't get that extra week for their pitchers, and it's a long season. You want to err on the side of caution, so you can't be too critical with that. But as far as the Cubs go, good to see. This Suzuki's something. You know, I had no idea when they signed him, right? Mm-hmm. I'd never seen him play. Watching him, over the first three, was it? They played three games or four? Three.
Three, yep.
Rain out on Friday, right. Cold day on Thursday. He's fun. He can hit the ball, hit a home run. He's a good stick. He's a good fielder. It's good signing. Really good signing. You're going to like him. Now, if they can get, and the pitching's been good. Hendricks was in the first start of the year. So we'll see where they go from there. And then Justin Steele was really good.
Where'd that come
from? Saturday. I don't know, but he was good.
So, speaking of that, we've basically everybody played three games, right? There's a couple of fours, but guess how many starting pitchers pitched seven innings?
Oh my gosh! I know the answer is really low. At least I would be surprised that it's not. I'm going to go none.
No, four.
Four.
Kyle Gibson for the Phillies. Manaea in his first start for the Padres. Germán Márquez for Colorado, and Robbie Ray. Four pitchers, but there were so many guys. Now, they're at 60 pitches.
Right.
I get playing with kid gloves. Mm-hmm. I understand that it was limited spring training, but are we going too far? Are we going to sound like two old guys just pitching on the radio?
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Yes, yeah. Welcome to 10 to Noon. I'm
sure
it's enough.
Right? Yeah. So the answer there is yes. What you're also seeing is there's a lot of extra days rest coming into play this year.
Yes.
And the numbers were elevated last year like no year ever before. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's, if you think you're going to get your pitcher back every 5 days, you can count them. If you're setting your fantasy lineup, you want that Monday, Saturday, mm-hmm. or Tuesday, Sunday guy in your rotation because you're going to get him twice. Probably not going to be the situation.
I know the Twins are going with the six-man rotation mm-hmm. early on, and that's something that might continue. But it's just the way of the world. And you look at anything that measures us analytically. It makes sense. It feels so different as we go through it and see, oh man, top of the four, all right. Mm-hmm. Walks a guy and all of a sudden there's the bullpen going to work right away in the fourth.
Yeah.
I mean, just unthinkable things in the past.
Trent, I settled in on Friday night to watch my squad.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays, right? They had a full house. First time they had a full house since before the pandemic.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Of course, the 2 years they couldn't play in
They're
Canada.
In Buffalo and Florida.
Buffalo and Florida. Settled in. I couldn't wait. I watched the anthem. I stood up. I did. I stood
Great.
Up. The huge flag. I mean, I was into it, right? My Canadian was showing, and I was proud of it. Settled in to watch my squad. And your guy, Jose Berríos, right?
Not anymore.
Former Twin. No, he's my guy now.
He's yours.
Yeah, thanks. signed him to a big, big, big. I think he makes like $500,000 a start.
Okay.
Something like that. Trent, he got one out.
Oh, right.
And his day was over. He had given up six runs. His ERA is, he'll take start his next game, is 108. Not 10.8.
No.
108. And then the point.
Nowhere to go but up.
You know what? That's a good way of looking at it.
Glass half full.
You know what? I'm going to try and adapt that. Glass half full. But they came back and won. Anyways, it's just great to see baseball.
It is. Flipping around, getting to see everything. We talked Friday about Bobby Witt Jr. and his debut.
I watched a lot of the Royals. I watched a lot of the Cardinals. You know what it is about the Cardinals, and I finally pinpointed it. Why I don't like that broadcast?
Dan McLaughlin.
Don't love him? Not the reason.
Jim
Edmonds won't shut up. He talks constantly.
Okay.
Honest to God, he's insufferable to begin with, and then it's just like, take a breath. Let the game kind of flow. You know, we don't need you every single pitch. Just, silence is golden sometime. Coming from a talk show host,
right? But so, we're on radio, too.
Right, right. And we don't have pictures.
Right.
that the our audience is seeing. Just let the game play out, Jimmy.
So he does not do a good job.
He's awful.
I'm going to listen a little closer now. And
see. You know what? It'll drive you nuts.
That probably will.
It drives me nuts how much this guy talks. Again, Dan McLaughlin is not my favorite, but I think it's Jim Edmonds that ruins the game for me.
Speaking of baseball announcer questions, I got an answer over the weekend. The last time we had a conversation last week, he said, oh, yeah, Dick Bremer. He did a Big Ten basketball game pretty recently. You're right. If you consider 2008 recently, that was the last at least Gopher game that he did. 2008.
So he has done basketball.
He has done basketball, 2008.
So if I wouldn't have put recently, I would have got the check mark?
I would have given it to you.
Okay.
Because he did Hawkeye games back in the day.
I remember him, Trent, doing basketball.
But 2008.
I got a good memory?
Well, you said, it was just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
14. No, okay. 14 years ago.
It's been a while. Been longer than I recalled.
I have a lot of those moments, too. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, just a couple years ago.
No, trust me.
And it's going to get worse. Yeah.
Don't take Prevagen, though. It's the biggest sucker thing going.
Okay.
It doesn't work. There's no studies that say this works. You take a sugar cube. Uh-huh. It's the exact same thing. If you think it works, it might work for you. But these Prevagen, as they make me sick, honest to God, because they're stealing people's money.
Oh, yeah?
There's no science that says it works. Trust me, if it worked, I'd buy it. Because you get older, mm-hmm. I watch my mom. I don't want this to happen. And if there is something that will, you can't prevent it, but slow it down. I want to know. So I did my research. It doesn't work. But anyways, enough about that. But yes, you will. It does.
Yeah, just a few years back. Dick Bremer calling Big Ten basketball games.
It's been a while.
2008.
Yeah. Dave, was it a Hawkeye game? Did he do Hawks
Gophers? It was
Gophers,
a Gopher. He did, though. Yeah, he did Iowa games apparently back in a lot of them. He must have worked for Raycom or something.
Did he?
Because that's what kind of part of his Wikipedia page talks about him doing Iowa basketball. I don't think maybe before Larry Morgan, did he do some games before Larry got the full-time gig?
Maybe.
Because Bob Hogue was the original.
Okay.
Who was KWWL.
So when are you talking? 70s, 80s?
Yeah. Late 79, 80, mm-hmm. early 80s range. So Bob Hogue was the guy that was kind of the originator of the Hawkeye network that went across the state. He was Keith Murphy for KWWL mm-hmm. up there before he moved out to Hawaii. That's where he finished his career, working in Honolulu and the university. The voice of the Rainbow Warriors. Pretty good gig to end up his career. But he was the original, and there had to be somebody in between, right? Because I wonder when Larry got that
gig. Don't know, but I think he was doing it when I moved here. Yeah, he's the first voice I remember in 89.
And that's the one that I remember the most, mm-hmm. obviously, is Larry Morgan. But there had to be somebody else. Was there fill-ins? And they also did the thing, Raycom. Because for years, Larry and Mac would go together and call the Iowa Road game. Later on, it would be split. So they would go out to Michigan State. Larry would work with the Michigan State then color guy on TV. They did that for maybe 2, 3, 4 years, something like that.
I don't remember.
Or Mac could go on the road. Yeah. He'd work with the play-by-play guy of whoever they were playing. So Dick Bremer might have been that guy for the Gophers. And maybe that's kind of where that connection came.
I do remember him doing Big Ten basketball.
Yeah. Recently.
Recently. That was before the F-bomb drops. I'm trying to figure out what my career are, career, where it fit. Yeah, the F-bombs had yet to drop, and boy, did that ever change KXNO.
Yes, it did.
Holy mackerel, did that change KXNO. Murph and Andy aren't here.
Uh-huh.
Kotler and company are working in the mornings. John Miller's parked it from 2 to 4.
That's right.
Yeah. He came on before us,
mm-hmm.
and we did 4 to 7. Anyways, we are going to do some Iowa State conversation next. They are practicing outside this week. It's their final week of practice, I want to say, as they were supposed to come to East, to Des Moines East. They're not. They're going to be in Gilbert this week, so one more opportunity for the media to see them. And then Iowa still got 2 weeks left, right?
That's
right. And then on Saturday, the 23rd, whatever it is, they've got an early morning.
9:45.
That's early morning indeed.
And a weird start time, 9:45. What's that all about?
I don't know, but they're going to get it in, get it over with, and on we shall go. We will take our first time. By the way, just real quick, because I mentioned it last week in passing, about our friend Jerry Crawford, who had a horse that was trying to get enough points to win or to find his way into the Kentucky Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Horse won.
Oh, wow.
And it looks like he's a legitimate threat to win the Run for the Roses. Now, I don't know if there's any other Iowa owners. Remember, mm-hmm. that was kind of the hook back in 2010 when Patty Oprado, because they were all Iowans that owned a little piece of this horse. Well, Jerry's still doing that, but I don't think there might be a handful or a couple of them in the ownership group. But Crawford's one of them, and he's got a place in the gate. Does he look good? His horse's name is Mo Donegal.
Mo Donegal.
Mo Donegal. I'm guessing we'll get Crawford on before that.
Yeah.
It's 10:25. We'll take our time out. Nick Olson is coming up next. We'll get into Iowa State. What seems to be catching Nick's eye? From what he's seen or what he's listened to, talked to, as far as media avails. We'll come back with that on Miller and Condon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Mainstream.com.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Just past 10:30 on a Monday. We take you up until noon. On Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hour number two, Matt Rudy from Golf Digest on the Masters, Scott Dockerman from The Athletic on the Hawkeyes. Right now, Nick Olson, 24/7 SportsCycloneAlert.com. He joins us as we catch up on Iowa State. Hello, Nick, Trent, and Ken. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
I'm great. Wanted to wish a happy birthday to our friend here today as well.
How
thank
about
you.
That,
thank
Trent
you.
Condon? Yes. Absolutely. 42 for our buddy Trent Condon here today.
Feeling every year of it.
Nick, where I want to start with you is I saw some Twitter, I think it was you retweeted or I'm not sure, but it was 24/7 Sports. J.J. Cole was at an event. But I think it was a 7-on-7 this past weekend. Ankeny Hawks now started with the Jags, moved across town playing for the Hawks. What's the likelihood that he's a Cyclone? Do they feel good about getting J.J. Cole? Where's he at in his recruiting?
Yeah, so I would say I'd probably say feel really good. I did like a crystal ball, you know, kind of prediction for him. It's the only official visit that he has set. It's Iowa State here in June. He'll be taking a visit to Wisconsin later this week. But other than that, those are the only visits he has set. And I think just kind of based on the relationships and how often he's been getting to practice and, you know, really the time the Cyclones have been putting in, I would be relatively surprised at this point if he's not Iowa State. You know, he's had a lot of eyes on him recently, and this weekend was no different. But, yeah, I would say as of right now, I'm pretty confident that is where he ends up.
You know, Cole's such an interesting prospect, and seeing him begin his career at Ankeny Centennial, made the move, better fit for the offense at Ankeny, and moved to the south side of town. But watching him play, he is a big frame guy, 6'6", can really sling it. But from what I saw early last season to what he became by the end, boy, he made
really?
Big-time improvement throughout the course of the year. Saw him early in the year, and I said, boy, it didn't even seem like a guy that maybe should get in some of the accolades. He made a big jump, I thought, last year. Have you seen him in person? Have you seen him throw the ball and those continued improvements that he's making right now, Nick?
Yeah, I've been really impressed. I've watched clips and obviously talked to him in person 3 or 4 times. You know, we've kind of developed a relationship. And one thing, you kind of noted there that on-the-field improvement, that's something that I feel you can continue to expect with a guy like this, because he's somebody, especially for his age, puts so much pride and effort into, you know, kind of what he is, but also what he knows he can become. He's told me that he's got the highest of aspirations, you know, obviously, hopefully in his future, but also competing for, you know, national championships, playoff berths in college football. And I think his arm talent's obviously there. He moves pretty well for his size. And his accuracy has improved as well, like you noted. So I think if Iowa State does get him, they'd be really a big get for whoever does land Cole. I've been really impressed both on tape and off the field as well.
Interesting. We're speaking with Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports. Of course, there is since we last spoke, a deletion in the quarterback room. Bowman is going to hit the transfer portal. Kind of thought that way. In fact, we brought it up in our conversation with you last Monday, Nick, that he may be kind of sliding down the depth chart a little bit. Guessing it didn't really catch too many people off guard. Where do you think he ends up? And was this just the right was on the wall? If he wants to play college football, he's probably going to have to go somewhere else to get that opportunity.
Yeah, from what I've gathered, that really was it. Just looked like eventually he wouldn't get the playing time that he'd hoped for. You know, obviously Deckers has kind of set himself apart. Ashton Cook is really impressed. And then we spoke about it on this show, you know, the true freshman Rocco Rocco Becht looks really good as well. So I think that if he wants, you know, to get that starting role, obviously most people aren't going into college just hoping to be a backup for a long time. He will have to go elsewhere. Obviously, it'll probably end up being like a smaller school. But, yeah, from what I gathered, you know, he enjoyed his time here, plenty of friends and good relationships, but was just kind of sliding down the depth chart this spring.
I want to go to wide receiver, and we know Xavier Hutchinson, he's going to put up huge numbers. He is a stud. Jalen Knoll, I think we saw a ton out of him last season, a guy that can get involved. After that, though, you got guys that have been around for a while, you know, the Sean Shaws, we certainly know his name, Darren Wilson, guys like that. How about other youngsters out of that wide receiver group? Who's got a chance to pop this year and go out there and catch 25, 30 balls? If you had to take a youngster, who jumps off the page to you?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with, you know, the guy I've kind of had my eyes on really since I've been here, and that's Greg Gaines, the true freshman wide receiver out of Florida. I mean, I wrote about it too, just his technique, and not just on top of, you know, talent, but his technique, his attention to detail, his speed, his ability to run really most of the route tree already. I've been really impressed with him. Now, I think Jalen is kind of ready to take that jump this year, so there will definitely be some star power at the top between himself and X, like you mentioned. But I think Gaines is that guy. And honestly, I think he's got kind of an all Big 12 NFL type future. I mean, he's really impressed me from what I've seen, obviously the high school tape, but also limited in spring as well.
Nick, and this goes back to a long time with Iowa State. Kicking has not been a real strength. Mavis last year, I thought he had a really, really nice year. Asali got better as his career went on. He was inconsistent to begin. But look, there are going to be a lot of close games, right? And I know that, you know, we tend to gravitate to the skill positions or the guys that you know, jump out off television screens. Kicker's seldom that guy. But they're going to need one. Who have they got? And his have you heard, have you had an opportunity to discuss the kicking position or the punter for that matter? Because that was kind of substandard last year as well. What about those two? Anybody that's stepping up so far this spring?
Yeah, from what I've heard and, you know, kind of seen, the kind of the conversation about special teams has been fairly limited. We'll probably get into that a little more this weekend. But quite honestly, kicker is wide open. A couple freshmen. You know, Tyler Bittman has impressed, at least from what I've seen. And I think that that's going to be a race similar to, like, tight end and corner, like we've talked about on this show, that could really go fairly deep into the spring and even deep into the summer to be figured out. But I would be relatively surprised if one of those really young guys, you know, either freshman or sophomore, aren't getting those chances, because some of the talent at those positions is going to come from some of the guys that are newer on campus here at Iowa State.
Nick Olson joining us, CycloneAlert.com, as we take a look at spring football here as it comes to a close this week. Working outdoors, we'll get our, hopefully, final glimpse of them on Friday. How disappointed was it from the people that you talked to that this got moved to Gilbert? It was supposed to be there last Friday, and not having an opportunity to come down here to the capital city and get a look at things over at East High School. I know around here there are plenty of disappointed people that are hoping to be able to get out.
Yeah, a lot of fans were disappointed, and honestly, I was too. I thought that it would be kind of a really nice opportunity for so many people, you know, from Des Moines to be able to check it out. Obviously, that city has plenty of talent and fans to be able to do so. And also, you know, it hurt that we weren't able to get kind of another view and an opportunity to watch these guys. I was had the notes ready and ready to kind of give you the report of Tavon Kyle. I know we had asked about on here. So I'm really hoping to get some more of that this weekend. But, yeah, certainly disappointment, and hopefully, you know, the weather holds off, so we'll be able to watch them this weekend at least.
One more on football, then a couple more on basketball. They did get a commit this weekend. Jake Sadowski, I believe is how you say his name, a linebacker. What do we know about him?
Yeah, he's been high on Iowa State's board for a while. This was a pretty good, exciting get for the team. He's played a lot of middle linebacker in high school, but he's going to kind of have the size and speed, versatility to play really anywhere. Mike Will Sam at the linebacker position. I know he thinks very highly of Iowa State, obviously, and now is just really excited to be able to kind of put the recruiting to the side. I spoke with him Saturday. He's a guy that just, you know, kind of lives and breathes football. He's got this set up. He'll be taking an official in June with some other potential linebackers in this cycle, but otherwise, is really excited to just get back and play for Batavia's senior year. and then get here to Iowa State. He's considering graduating early, but does not have that decision fully figured out yet.
Last one on football. I lied. Then we'll get to basketball. Jameson Patton was at that same camp as Cole. Where's he going?
Yeah, so that one, you know, I've kind of said it's going to be the tightest race in the state, I believe. It's going to come down to Iowa State or Iowa, likely. There's some crystal balls in for Patton to go to Iowa State. Iowa thinks highly of him as well. If I had to, you know, give a lean right now, it's really close. I'd say Iowa State's been pushing harder and longer for him, and he's definitely spoken highly of that program as well. He's got an official set there. Don't expect a decision from him for a while. I can confidently say it's going to be close, but that'll come down to one of the two in-state schools probably in July, maybe August, right before the season starts. He's very close with J.J. Cole. They'll be playing high school ball together.
Yeah.
Also has a relationship with Kai Black, who is high on the Cyclones' radar as well.
Yeah, you wonder if maybe that's enough to push it over the edge there if J.J. Cole makes that commitment to Iowa State and Jameson Patton follows. But going to be a tight one down to the wire. Ken mentioned it. We got basketball. We got, of course, recruiting going on that front with the transfer portal. It's so hard to keep track.
Really,
there are just
is.
So many names. You go to the national guys, and all right, Iowa State's involved in this guy. There's interest, and what does interest really mean? It's so difficult to decipher. What can you tell us, Nick Olson? What's happening on the transfer talk for basketball?
Yeah, I feel for these coaches, honestly, man, having to keep track of all these new guys jumping in and, you know, who they can potentially get. I'll continue to boost that they're going to need some scoring at the guard position. Mm-hmm. And as for, you know, some names right now, you can look at the big men, a couple actually guys from Wisconsin, Grant Basile from Wright State and Ben Vanderplas from Ohio. Both are pretty high on Iowa State's radar right now. There have been, you know, deep conversations. I would expect visits from them later this month. But otherwise, yeah, kind of continuing to try to shore up the defense, is that should be a continued strength. And then scoring at the guard position is going to be paramount with the loss of Isaiah Brockington.
Of course, Brockington came in with Kalshur, two Big Ten transfers. We know Brockington made his announcement the day after they got bounced, I believe, by Miami. But Kalshur has been very quiet. What does that mean? What do you read into the fact that Gabe Kalshur has yet to at least make it public what his plans are for next year?
Yeah, that's something I've been thinking about as well. I'm a little bit surprised, but it also kind of goes with his personality a little bit. I mean, from everything that I had heard, you know, I kind of last checked in on that last week. He's supposed to come back. I think that it'd be really good for both sides. I think he might just be, you know, kind of moving under the assumption that that's the plan. Maybe he's speaking with his family, seeing what's kind of best for him. But to my knowledge, Iowa State is operating under the fact that he will be part of the Cyclones program this upcoming season.
And Aruna, yes or no?
Highly doubtful.
Yeah, okay. What else? I guess, it's still out there, the A.J. Green thing. Apparently he's kicking the tires on the NBA. He did that last year. If there is an opportunity, sounds like he would go pro. That maybe is the reason we haven't heard anything definitive on A.J. Green. What, if anything, have you heard?
Yeah, so I've heard a little bit similar in the last week. Basically, it was just kind of a little more of an example of how badly he wants to go pro. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. that's the goal for a lot of these guys. I think, you know, part of it is kind of done with school, he feels like. However, I don't see him, you know, jumping overseas, because I think that he's got his mindset on the NBA, and I do think he's got the talent. So what I see most likely at this point, unless somebody kind of offers him a two-way deal, is that he might dip into the transfer portal in the next couple weeks while still being focused on the draft, of course, and see what can come out of that. I don't expect him to get drafted yet this year. I think that would be, you know, a bit of a surprise. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's entering, you know, to see kind of some other options at the college level in these next couple weeks while still prepping for the NBA draft prospect.
We shall see. Good stuff, Nick Olson. CycloneAlert.com, 24/7 sports. He'll be on the ground in Gilbert this week, and we will speak with you next Monday, Nick. Thanks for doing this, as always. Have a great week.
Big week, guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports Cyclone Alert. .com. So who does this game remind you of? AJ Green, not Knicks.
Oh. AJ Green, who, like, NBA?
The NBA, or guys that came, would he be a Matt Thomas?
Not the same type of lights out shooter. He's just not that consistent with the shot. More of a playmaker.
Okay.
And with the ball in his hands. Boy, a good comp for AJ Green.
But would he be that playmaker? Look, Missouri Valley's a good conference. I'm not poo-pooing that by any means, but would he have the success if he was in the Big 12 or in the Big 10?
I think so. Okay. I think he can be a playmaker. He's not going to be a guy that has the ball in his hands as much as he does, certainly with you and I and the way the offense is kind of built around him. Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm going to have to grind on that one to think of a good comp for AJ Green, kind of how he fits in.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a pro future. I mean,
6'4 point guard. If he's a point guard, yeah.
Hey.
But where is he physically, after the injuries? It doesn't seem like he had the same bounce that he did as a freshman.
Struggled early. But can that
come back?
Yeah. I mean, I thought he got better as the year went on.
Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of people at the next level that liked him after his freshman campaign. So probably he wasn't draftable at that time. But
he did put his name in it, right?
Yeah.
To get the feedback.
Right. You wonder, boy, that's such a difficult decision.
And listening to Nick, sounds like he wants to, it's his dream, everybody's dream when he was a kid, right? He wanted to play sports, but he's closer than most of us. But is it realistic?
Got to grind.
Right?
And grind down there in the G League, and if you're not drafted, and just how difficult that is. And you go down there and you watch an Iowa Wolves game, just the amount of talent.
It's just incredible, Trent.
These are guys, and a lot of them realistically don't have a shot.
And the other thing against him, too, he's going to be 23 in September.
That's a big one.
So if there is an opportunity to go, I mean, sooner rather than later,
right.
Unfortunately, that's the way the NBA likes it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They much rather take a 19 or a 20-year-old.
And try to mold him.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back, finish up the hour. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
In Ames.
Welcome back. 5 minutes before the hour of 11, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent, last week after we had Mike Palm from Circus Sports on the show, somebody reached out to you, to our Twitter account, asking about over-under win totals for college football as to when they're going to come out. What do you think? Let me catch you off guard here.
Okay.
Iowa and Iowa State's over-under total from Vegas, when it is released, start with Iowa. Where will they be? Not saying how many games are going to win.
Right.
Where will the properties put the over-under total?
More difficult schedule than a year ago. You got Ohio State and Michigan back on.
Yep.
7.5.
I went 8.5.
8.5. Might be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, could be. I mean, you got to put a hook on it.
Don't have to.
No, but they usually do. Right? You want to settle it. You don't want to wait all year and then get your money back.
And then you're playing with some different
They don't want to give you your money back.
Yep.
You don't want to take it. Right in that ballpark. What about Iowa State?
The first number that jumped to my mind was 5.5.
Me too.
That's the one that jumped right away. Mm-hmm. It is just, it's so unknown. And when we were just talking with Nick Olson, can we get a depth chart?
No.
I know we won't.
The answer's no.
I know we won't, but it would just, and especially this year more than, last year you didn't need one.
Right.
We knew everybody.
Sure.
When you return 20 starters, it's pretty easy.
Right.
We don't know these guys.
Go to Cyclones.com. Click on the depth chart now. Brock Purdy. Breece Hall.
They're not there.
They're not. I totally agree with you. I don't know why this cat's like this, but he is.
A post-spring depth chart. Just and can he use it as a motivational ploy for a guy that didn't make the depth chart?
Just anything.
Try to find a way to not only feed the beast,
and
get people, all right, hey, I like this guy. I remember him being a recruit. Fans like all that stuff.
Yes.
They buy into it. They get into it. And us media types? It's something to give us at least a baseline. Where are we?
Right.
Where are these guys?
Right.
These young guys now that we've been talking about and the development during last fall. And now they'll get their first shot coming up this year.
And we know it's not set in stone. We don't care.
Exactly. Right. We know it's crap.
Yep.
Kirk has said this for years.
Right.
Yet he still puts it out and it feeds the beast. It gives a talking point. That's what you want, right? And for Iowa State.
Especially this year.
They're trying to get people in the stands. Mm-hmm. You were coming off what was dubbed as a historic season coming up, and you had all these things. It was an easy sell last year. This is not as easy of a sell as it was a year ago. And because of that, you're trying to get people excited and get people talking. Those are the kind of things that will get people talking. Just a release of the depth chart. It might take you 10 minutes. Just do it.
And absolutely. We're not going to hold you to it.
No. If it doesn't play out the way that you have, it's okay. It's okay.
So 5.5. What's their home schedule? Big 12. They get Baylor at home. Mm-hmm. They get K-State at home. They get Oklahoma at home. Texas Tech at home. Where's West Virginia? It's got to be here this year. It was there last year. And then they finish at TCU. Yeah, I think, I'm not saying they're going to win five games, win six games, but I think that's the right number. I think I would put it at 5.5.
1-2. Say they go 2-1 in the non-conference. You got to find four more wins to get to bowl eligibility. Baylor's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm. Kansas is going to be better.
But that's a win.
Yeah, but Kansas is going to be better.
K-State, the series has turned, but...
Yeah, it's in Ames. There's developing a little hatred there.
Yes.
Their broadcaster's a real dick, isn't he?
Really?
Oh, my gosh. He loves to poke. He trolls big time.
Their play-by-play radio guy?
Yes.
Who is it?
I don't know. I've never heard of him. The only reason I know him is because he stokes the fire like you've never seen a John Walter's not doing that.
Right.
Gary Dolphin's not playing those kind of cards, but this guy.
Wyatt Thompson?
Yeah, I don't know if that's his name. Might be. Check his Twitter.
That's what it is. I just clicked on his
Is K-State. He the football radio?
Yes.
Then that'd be him.
I think that's who it is. Native Kansan.
Boy, he pokes. Anyways, we'll come back. Hour number two. Get it going with Masters conversation. Tigers committed to the British. Going to try and play in the PGA. That's what, the third week in May, I want to say?
Is that what it is?
Yeah. He's got about a month to recover. Boy, oh boy. I felt for him walking up 18. Yes, it was remarkable television, but man, he was struggling. Hour two coming up. Miller and Condon underway on a Monday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.